It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Here we are in the middle of March, man. These months just keep flying by, but Barbecue Bob, I think I might have saw the first indication of spring to me. There were robins in my yard earlier today.
Really?
Yep, first ones I've seen back, but that was legitimate. There was three or four of them there. I think the guys fly up ahead and make sure it's okay, and the girls will come into town when it's a little warmer.
Is that how that works?
Yeah. But anyway, I am Job. He's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Sounds like the movie Hangover or something.
Right.
All the guys leave.
Something like that.
It is spring break time.
There's some hangovers going on.
I told you I heard the cheeseburger bird last week, so
yeah,
I know
right,
they're coming.
Right, they are. So
speaking of cheeseburgers,
yeah,
this whole show is going to be all about hamburger heaven.
Yeah, and you know what? That's probably the quintessential grill item of every beginning griller and experienced griller. We're doing a carnivore diet, and we're eating burgers two or three times a week. And we've gone to that, 72% lean, 28% fat.
There you go.
And I usually shied away from that kind of burger most of the time. I was trying to get, like, a little bit leaner. But I'm going to tell you what. Two things I've noticed is you got to be careful grilling them because there's a lot of fat coming out there, and you can get flare-ups. And they crisp up on the outside a lot better with that fat and juice with the hot tech because it doesn't flare up, but it's hot and it makes them crispy, but they also is the flavor is so much better.
Yeah,
I mean,
especially
it's amazing.
If you're going to somebody like Tim Sobey and
right,
asking him to blend it.
Right.
Well, that's funny because I've been doing a deep dive on Smashburgers all week.
Okay.
I can't tell you how many videos on Smashburgers I watched. Some I agree with, some I don't. Of course, like anything,
right,
you know, some guy just makes a video. Doesn't mean it's the way you want to do it.
Right.
It's just how he did it.
Or you tune into a radio station, some guy tells you how to do something.
Right.
Might not be how you want to do it.
It's
right?
Probably the way you should do it.
Yeah. Well, in our opinion,
but,
of course.
Funny thing is, watching the founder of Smashburger, I think he was one of those that recommended 25% fat in your burger.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've got a griddle, and that's where I make smash burgers is on my Blackstone or whatever griddle you have. And I agree that the fattier ones are better because they crisp up. And you like that little crust on them when you smash them. I do anyway. You're not looking for a medium or medium rare burger when you're doing smash burgers. You're cooking them, right? At least I do. And I like that fattier burger grind because they crisp up and that makes the texture is as good as the flavor for
and
me.
That was I guess one of my big takeaways. The guy from Smashburgers, he actually has a patent pending press.
Oh, okay.
And his press is kind of round-ish. It almost looks like a four-leaf clover. It has some sort of little
scallops around
it
or something.
Yeah. And it then does a return down to the grill. So it smashes it, but it holds it in place. And he maintains that by pushing that burger into a form like that, that it sort of forces the juices to stay inside of it.
Hmm.
Makes sense, because I watched him smash it and grill it, and nothing was coming out the side. So there might be a little bit of truth to that. And you've done more smash burgers than I have because I don't have an outdoor griddle.
I would agree, though.
I have not necessarily even paid that much attention to them, to be honest.
Yeah.
With you.
And I just use, you know, the big spatula. They're 4 inches
sure,
wide and about 8 inches long. And I'll put, I got two of them and I'll X them, right? Put one on top of the burger, put the other one at 90 degrees, and then just push down on both of them to flatten the burger out. So I've got spatula covering it. I don't want it to like squeak out the sides because then it doesn't stay the uniform, but the smash burgers, the best ones I've ever made, are all the same thickness all the way through. That because then they're done perfectly.
What he also maintains is that he puts his first one down and he leaves it down until that side is caramelized.
Yeah,
he doesn't flip it until it's bubbling up out of the top, and that makes total sense.
Yep, and that's where you get that crispiness, because if you move it too many times, it'll cook, but it's not going to get crispy.
Yeah.
Right.
So
yeah.
We just jumped way ahead of the show.
No, that's
all right. My fault.
No, that's good because, you know, it is the spring and you're going to, it's time to get stuff out, clean it up. Maybe it's been in your garage all winter. My stuff has been moved in and out. I with this carnivore diet, I cooked up 4 pounds of bacon, and I went to Sobey and bought a bunch of bacon. And in the morning, I don't like messing with it
right.
and getting it up. So I just cooked it all on the weekend and put it in, you know, vac sealed it, and we pull one out for the week, right?
That's where I still think the George Foreman might be the ultimate tool.
Right.
Do both sides at once.
Right. Yeah,
well,
so but anyway, my point is that it was so cold out and the wind was blowing when I did it last weekend. I did it in the garage. All days this week, you go out and get in the car, the whole garage smells like bacon, man, because I fogged it up in there, buddy. And, you know, we made a lot of grease on that. But it was funny.
Well, with this beautiful weather, I find myself outside cleaning up a bunch because the winter just really, if you live in the woods like we do, we are inundated with oak leaves. I mean, we're in the oaks. And no matter how much you clean them up in the fall, come spring, you've just got a ton of oak leaves everywhere, and they're not good for most things.
No, they don't do your lawn any good at all. You got to get them off of there.
Yeah, so I bought some new rakes, and I've been cutting down trees and making these giant burn piles. So this afternoon when I get home, I got a bunch of little granddaughters there and a grandson. So we're going to have a giant bonfire.
That was going to be my next question is if you rented rakers when you bought the rakes.
No, they're pretty much making more of a mess than they help with.
Right.
I've got most of it ready to roll. They're just waiting for me to come home and touch the torch.
That's why
torch
I keep
off.
That big blower. I got this walk-behind blower. Raking is not one of my favorite things to do, man. It's hard on an old guy. But you got to do it.
It's called a billy goat or an
billy goat. Yeah.
Those are great.
Yeah, I've had a long time, but it you know, you take care of it, it works.
Well, so in the meantime, you know, springtime and wintertime is a good time to cut trees because it's cold.
Yeah.
And you work really hard. And if you do it in the summer, you just sweat like a dog, right?
Yeah.
So I had a hickory tree inside my pool that drops hickory nuts all over the place. So the squirrels make a mess all winter. And then in the spring, it's dropping all this junk in my pool. So I took the fence out and got my hauling team out, which is my son, basically in a giant rope. And we tied it off and did the cut and got that hickory out of there. So I have some hickory going to the mill, as well as some oaks.
Are the tops still there?
No.
Did you save me any discs?
I cut up a ton of wood, and I have a crate in my Tahoe right now for you.
Oh, see, you're so nice to me. You're so nice to me because the last one you did was at least 2 or 3 years ago, and the branches, from when I asked him about the tops, you cut them into little discs, and they're perfect for smoking. You got to let them dry out a little bit, but, man, those things are so good. When you use those for
custom
smoke
cut.
Wood. Yeah, man.
Yeah, no, I got a whole bunch for you.
Yeah, well, thank you.
And I got a bunch more to cut up, so we're in the wood.
Yeah, see, so if you're nice to your partner, he takes care of you. If you're not, then he won't. So, but anyway, I owe him an on-air apology. If you were here last week and you listened to us, I got a little aggressive with a comment about his outdoor kitchen, and it was inappropriate, and I love his outdoor kitchen, and I eat anything and everything I can off of it when I'm there. So I just want to make a public apology because it was probably a little inappropriate. I got in his knickers a little bit, and there was no reason to do it. So, but anyway,
that's how this show rolls.
Well, that's right. But you know, you better, if you're man enough to call somebody out, you better be man enough to apologize when you realize I listened to the show and it probably wasn't appropriate. So I just wanted to let everybody know that Barbecue Bob's got a badass outdoor kitchen, and if you ever get a chance to get over there and eat something out of it, don't pass it up.
Too late. The damage is done.
Yeah. yeah, his butt healed. Yeah. But anyway, coming up next, you know, what do you like for a patty? We talked a little bit about this. Some people like thick burgers. Some people like them thin. My wife is one that doesn't like them over-seasoned. I get accused of putting too much seasoning on her burger as we pursue this carnivore thing. So you're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're going to season up your burger. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Andy Havemeyer, operating owner of Wealthy Street Bakery, where we're more than just pastries. Open from 6:30 to 9, Monday through Saturday, and 8 to 3 on Sundays. You can enjoy a fresh pastry in the morning, a hearty sandwich for lunch, or a delicious brick oven pizza for dinner. Whether you're into coffee and tea, beer or wine, our drink menu is sure to have something for everyone. We hope to see you soon. Don't forget to check out our sister location, Hall Street Bakery, on the corner of Hall and Fuller. Check out our menus online at WealthyStreetBakery.com and also at HallStreetBakery.com.
With the Grilling Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guy show.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're talking everything burger today. You know, we missed one thing about the outdoor cleanup. I want to talk just 30 seconds about grill cleanup. Please, if you've not used your grill all winter, get right in there, take it apart as much as you feel comfortable doing, and check for animal nests, check for anything that's in there, because if it's been covered up all winter, that's a great place for rodents to get in, make a home, and because they love the smell and maybe they're some of the taste, and you just got to be careful. I'm not speaking from experience this year, but that has happened to me before. You light it up for the first time and the thing's smoking and smelling bad. You're like, what is going on? And you figure out there was some sort of a nest in there.
That patina is mouse urine.
Yeah, right, exactly. Not what you want to do. So just make sure to clean, take a good look at your grill, tear it apart a little bit, and a good cleanup before you get going for the season's a great thing anyway.
Yeah. So what do you like for a patty? And with St. Patrick's Day coming up, I'm not talking about
that patty?
Your Irish buddy.
Yeah.
But what I've noticed in this dive is all the opinions and people's, you know, preferences and what they swear to or
right.
really feel strongly about or maybe don't care. Just all sorts of opinions all over the place. And it makes you, I guess, question how you're going to regame that burger. What, you know, percentage of fat, how you're grilling it, for one thing. If you're on a flat top, a little more fat's okay. If you're on your grill over a direct flame, you got to be a little careful.
Right.
And you're not doing smash burgers on a grill unless you have a cast iron pan on there or something.
Right. And then you're not on the direct flame, right? Yeah. So it's smash burgers, you've all have probably seen them. If you haven't, it's just a burger that's flattened out thin. They let it get crispy on both sides. It creates a better texture, in my mind, than a regular burger. But you got to be careful not to dry them out, because when you're pressing down on that, you're pressing all the juice out of the burger.
I remember when that chain came out.
Right.
And I remember thinking, God, you're going to ruin a piece of meat.
Right.
No, it doesn't.
Right.
It's amazing. It's because you're using a higher fat content.
Right.
If exactly. it was lean, you would be ruining it.
Yeah.
You'd have something to reshoe your boots with.
Yeah. So prior to smash burgers, that's a way to do it. Not my favorite. But the kids like them. We make them in the summer when the griddle's out, you know. But I prefer my burger cooked to medium or medium rare. A lot of people that come over when I make them that way think I didn't cook it enough, especially the ladies, it seems. But, you know, ground burger, I don't think it's going to hurt you if it's a little bit raw, right? Just get it from a reputable place. You know, we go over to Sobeys, you get his ground meat, you know it's great.
Yep.
And you're going to, I plan it about a third of a pound is my favorite burger. So I get 3 out of a pound of burger. You know, you just get your package, you look at it, patty them up. And one of the things that I think is important is trying to make them thicker on the outside, the rim, and maybe a little divot in the center. Because what happens is when I cook those on the grill, they puff up.
They shrink in.
Right. They
so that
they draw in.
That forces that center to rise.
Right.
And then
Yeah. Because if you serve a burger to your guests or your family or whoever you're doing it for.
Yourself.
And it's a mountain. The center is twice as thick as the edges.
Yeah.
All the condiments fall off.
Right.
Right. So, you know, logic says build it the other way. Make the outside thicker the center thinner. You just put your thumb in there and push it around, and when it's done cooking, it's closer to level. I've never got them really level like you would out of a hockey puck that you bought a frozen one from a big box store, but I don't cook with those anyway.
Right.
So, you know.
Yeah.
That's the way I like a burger. What about you? What's your favorite way?
In my mouth.
Yeah, right.
So what I use for patties, of course, I buy a cow every year, and that's probably 80%.
Yep.
And it's about right. It's an organic cow. It's fed the very best food possible. The flavor is immaculate. And I just simply, well, first of all, I have the processor bring them out in 1.5-pound tubes.
Yep.
So I can cut those. I can cut one of those into 4 pieces.
Yeah.
And I have like 4 perfect. And then I take the plastic off. You know, I just literally slice through it while it's like that.
Right.
And then I've got 4 beautiful pucks. I can just press them down a little bit. The less I maneuver them and manipulate them, I think the more tender they are.
I would agree with that.
And you know, a lot of people buy beef in a tube. I went to my son's last week and stayed a few days with him and helped him cut firewood and stuff. And he had this, he said, we're having burgers, and he had this giant tube of burger on the counter, and it's got the colored wrapping. It's from the big box store. And I'm like, oh my gosh. I said, so is that the burgers we're making tonight? And he started laughing. He goes, no, that's for the dog. He's got this 150-pound bull mastiff that he cooks burgers for. He feeds it raw, actually.
Yeah.
So Buffy gets the stuff in a colored wrapper.
She's healthy.
She is.
Yeah.
But he's very meticulous about his meat, too. He's got an Amish market up there that he buys from. And
yeah. You know, if that's all you can afford, okay. But it's fundamental. You start with good ingredients, you're going to get good results. And if your budget doesn't allow you to buy fresh ground burger at the butcher shop, like we're so blessed to be able to do, then, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
Well, there's another way around that.
Yeah, right. That's where I was going.
And you wait till you see it on sale where you trust their meat.
Right.
Wait till you see it on sale and buy a bunch of it and just throw it in the freezer.
Right.
Because I don't want to have to go to the store every day.
Right, right. And
but I do.
Well, I enjoy, you know, I mean, if you haven't heard before, we're pretty fond of Sobey Meats here because it is a quintessential butcher shop. And you can go there, and if you call ahead, they'll pretty much give you any cut that they can make. They'll have it for you, whatever it is. But you can ask for special grind. You may have to buy a bunch of it if he's got to dirty up his equipment, but that makes perfect sense. But generally, he's got
all sorts of grinds,
right.
And he does them for tons of restaurants.
Right.
So
they'll
custom blend any burger you want.
Right.
I know the guy across the street at that little brewery.
Yep.
Lost Art.
Right.
They have a burger wagon out front. Sobey custom blends all their burger for them, and
yep,
they're stinking wonderful.
Oh yeah. Yeah, again, you start out with good product, you end with a good meal.
You know, and to help you do that, you should go to our website. It's called thegrillinguys.com. On there you'll find menus, you'll find past shows. You can download, if you like one of these shows by chance, you can click on that show, copy the URL and send it to a friend.
Right.
If you have a radio station in your area that doesn't carry the show, copy that, send it to your program director, your PD, and say, hey, we really like this. Can you play this on Saturdays? And they'll be like the other stations that do it. So there's also on the right, you'll see a bunch of our sponsors.
Right.
You can click on them. You'll go to their current sales. On the top, you'll see a headset. You can click on that to get the podcast. It's really simple. And on the bottom of our site, it'll click you right onto Jethro.com, and you can listen to the show live every Saturday morning here at 9 a.m. Eastern.
Coming up next, we're going to top your burger. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fen Valley Vineyards.
Barbecue Bob for Garrett's Appliance. Lots of folks are remodeling, and if you are, you owe it to yourself to go to Garrett's Appliance. They made my kitchen the perfect example of elegant and functional. Visit either location, 29th Street in Kentwood or 28th Street in Wyoming. Garrett's Appliance also has a super lineup of patio kitchen equipment, and you can count on their design team for a perfect outdoor grilling area. Visit garrettsappliances.com. That's garrettsappliances.com.
The Grilling Guys.
Now hit me.
Oh, yeah. The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're talking everything burger today. And Barbecue Bob, we've skipped over a couple things. Imagine that on the show plan. And you want to play a little catch up? So
a little bit.
All puns
ketchup.
Intended.
Whoa.
All puns intended.
So we can talk about buns briefly. I asked my wife what she likes. She likes a sesame bun.
Yep.
She says never a pretzel bun.
Right.
But we also bring in the Hall Street Bakery buns, and
right.
She loves those because it's like a baguette.
Yeah.
The key with any of those buns is have a little garlic butter on them and throw them on the griddle.
Mm.
You know, get them crisped up a little bit because then they won't be mushy.
Yeah.
But for back to the smash burgers, one of the very common ones I see is using a maple bacon jam. That's really popular, and I saw this one dude, I can't remember who. But what I really liked about it was he put his two burgers on the griddle, and he had them kind of already rounded out a bit. They weren't the round ball that you start a smash burger with. So he had the patty out there, and he took jalapeno slices and then his smasher, and he smashed down that burger, and he embedded the jalapenos right into the burger, which, you know, for me, that just wets my whistle. I'm
right.
A huge jalapeno fan. And then when he flipped them over, they burnt right into the other side. That made for a very cool burger. He covered them in cheddar, and then on his bun, he stacked them up on top of each other with all that cheddar oozing out, and then he put that maple bacon jam on his bun. And I'm going to tell you that I'm salivating right now remembering the image of that.
So let's talk about how to make maple bacon jam if you can't find it, because I'm really not sure. I mean,
it's really simple. You just cube up a bunch of bacon. You stir it up, fry it up. You put in some brown sugar, some maple syrup, a little bit of vinegar, a little bit of water, and you keep cooking it down. It just turns into like this
jam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you cool it. You just put it in a jar. It'll last for a couple weeks.
Mm. Wow.
It's really easy.
That'd be a great flavor profile.
Yeah.
Especially with the jalapenos. You get a little sweet, get a little heat.
Another one I found, this guy was taking his onions and he was slicing them on a mandolin.
Wear the glove.
Really,
wear the
really
mandolin glove.
Thin. And then he took those beautiful thin slices and made these little piles, a little higher than you might think you'd have to, but they compressed like crazy. Then he smashed his burger on top of that. So that was the initial crust on the first side of the smash burger.
Yeah.
And to me, you know, that's right up my alley as well. Anyway, just a couple more ideas.
Yeah.
I'm stealing.
Be careful on the mandolin because I have a scar on the middle finger of my right hand.
You weren't using the protector?
I wasn't using the glove, and I'm snap, snap. Ooh, we won't be using that piece because that's my knuckle in it.
I've got a few meat slicer stories.
Yeah, right. But they make a glove. I'm like, glove, schmuv. I don't need no glove. I'm a grilling guy. Yeah, until I took the top off my knuckle. Use a damn glove. That's the moral of that story. But anyway, you know, I guess I like to just comment on stuff like that only because it happens to everybody, and I'm nobody special. I just like talking about barbecue, and it took like, because it's right on the top of your knuckle, it took like a month to heal up.
They're wicked.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oof,
God, yeah. God. Use the protector.
Yeah.
So I find that when I'm doing burgers or like nachos or anything like that, I'm much more fond of shredding my cheese fresh. Because I noticed that the bagged cheese is all covered with starch.
Yeah.
And I just don't need that starch.
No, it keeps it from clumping up together. And if you got a regular block of cheese, you shred it and eat it. There's no worry about clumping up.
And if you have a food processor, if you're doing a bunch of it, you can just use your food processor and throw it in there and do it.
Yep.
Because they do a great job.
Grate it down. Something to clean up, but it's part of the deal, man.
It is.
Yeah.
And it's actually, when you're into food, it's one of the bigger, less glamorous parts of the job.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when you and I are at events, we always find ourselves in the kitchen at the end of the night.
Yeah.
And
banging pots and pans and in sinks that aren't almost big enough to clean everything that you got to clean. And yeah, we've all done that. That's why if you can get a commercial kitchen, we had for a while. That
well, and if you're doing an outdoor kitchen, there's something to consider.
Right.
Put a big enough sink in.
Right.
Because your wife doesn't want that stuff in the house.
Right. And you don't either, really, because there's no place to stack it once you get it washed.
I'm fortunate I have a big laundry tub, but it's also white.
Yeah.
So when you're doing all that black stuff, it just makes another thing to clean up.
Yeah.
So what other types of burgers are you fond of, or maybe what's a style in your house that you'd say people tend to glean towards?
Well, my favorite kind of burger, Bob, it has to do with the piece of equipment that I cook on. It's the tech that I have that you helped me get is a perfect thing for burgers for me, because it's an infrared grill, which means it has a piece of glass between the burner and the grates, right? And what that does is it stops flare-ups. So this extra juicy, extra fat burger that I use would be hard on a regular grill because it's dripping grease. But on the tech, it's perfect because when that grease hits the glass, it turns into smoke.
Therein lies the beauty of the Weber kettle.
Yep.
They're so deep, and if you're using lump charcoal, you're getting so much heat that, yeah, you may get grease dripping down, but it just adds to that smoke.
Yep.
And that will keep you out of trouble. If you're using charcoal and your grill's too shallow, it's going to be a problem. But the kettle really saves the day in that regard.
And more people have a kettle. That's a great point. I should be talking about that because the tech's a really unique piece of equipment. But you're right. I guess what we're saying is that if you can stop flare-ups, the burgers, and when that grease hits a hot source, whether it's the Weber and the Coles on an offset or it's the tech, it smokes, okay, and rather than flames. And when you get that smoke, it just adds a whole nother level of flavor. Holy cow. That was hard for me to say. A whole nother level of flavor to your burgers. And I think that's what people comment the most about when I serve burgers at the house when they're over for the pool.
Savory.
Yeah. They're like, wow, your burgers taste so much better. Good seasoning, that Tim's blend that I use from Sobey. But also I think it's that smokiness that a lot of people can't get on their grill because they don't have the right proper equipment or they don't use the right technique.
And it's that time of year when you're going to want some. And our friends over at Garrett's Appliance have a big sale on grills every spring.
Mm-hmm.
So you should wander over to their, I would go to their Ivan Rest and 28th Street store.
Right.
Because that's their big store. I'm sure they have them on their 29th Street store too. But I know their big sale every year is over on 28th Street. And
it's 28th and Byron Center.
Is it Byron Center?
Yeah, sorry.
Okay.
I live right there.
Okay.
That's why I know, yeah.
You live in the back of the store,
right? Well, you know, sometimes they let me up in the front.
They do have a scratch and dent room in the back that's worth perusing because you can. Well, they sell such great equipment that if you go back and find something that's fantastic and with a little nick or two in it, it's okay. But excuse me, they do have a fantastic variety and they do a ton of like pellet and griddle. They have everything there.
Yeah, when we get closer to Father's Day, we'll have them on and Brad will give us the rundown of all the great stuff that you can get. Start saving your nickels right now because Father's Day is coming and that's a great place to get Dad a gift for Father's Day is Garrett's Appliance. I know that, and they've got all levels of grills. I mean, that you can go crazy there. But the cool part is they got lots of accessories too.
Not a bunch of China stuff.
No, no. Got my pizza oven there. It was wonderful. Just haven't had that out for the winter. Put it away in like November was the last time I made anything on it. I'm so ready to just fire up that pizza oven.
Get those
again.
Mice out of it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you got to look. I don't think they're there because it's a pretty simple oven. There's one floor that you cook on. But no, it's something that I'm really looking forward to doing. But This is the burger show, not the pizza show.
That does not go with the lean diet.
No.
Sorry.
No. Too many carbs on that. Yeah. Exactly. But anyway.
Well, I guess you could talk about hamburgers in a million ways, but regardless of how you do your patties, regardless of what kind of buns you do, the other really cool thing you can do, and we've talked about it every year, is to, especially if you're feeding an army, is to set up a bar and have all these great little toppings for your burger.
All right. Coming up next, we're going to talk about a burger bar. Stick with us. We'll be back.
If you're feeling hungry and you want something to eat, make yourself a list and head on down to Sobey Meats, where our staff is always friendly and they all know our creed. Come on down to Sobey's and let us meet your needs. We have kielbasa, kapusta, chicken, pork, and beef, seafood and hot sticks, a snack that can't be beat. Dairy and deli, groceries, beer and wine. And once you shop at Sobey's, you'll shop there all the time.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey from Sobey Meats. Please stop by to see Teresa and myself and the whole gang for good old-fashioned service at 3450 Remembrance Road. Make sure you visit SobeyMeats.com for our specials, and thank you for your support.
So when you're feeling hungry and you want something to eat, make yourself a list and head on down to Sobey Meats. And if you're really satisfied, there's one way we can tell. When you leave the store, make sure you ring our bell.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grillin' Guy.
Welcome back. You listen to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. We're going to bring this train to the station here and finish up our conversation about burgers. We'll get to toppings during this segment because I think it's a little bit of fun to have a burger bar.
Mm-hmm.
But before we do that, you had a couple things you wanted to cover.
Yeah. Well, I guess people have their own opinions on what their perfect burger looks like, tastes like, feels like, chews like, you know?
Right.
And the thing about the smash burger is you do kind of caramelize them. And that's something that a lot of people aren't used to referring to in terms of a burger. They're thinking of onions.
Right.
But you're actually doing that same thing to meat when you compress it and you force it on a high heat for a short period of time. And since you're smashing them, it only takes like 2 minutes on each side.
Right. I think that worth mentioning again is that if you want to make good smash burgers, because that caramelization takes moisture and in the form of fat, melting fat, is what caramelized on those. So you need a fattier grind. I know that a lot of people think, well, I want to buy the 95.5 because that's the best stuff for me. Maybe.
Or ground round.
Right, yeah, maybe. But if you want a good smash burger, you know, 80-20 at a minimum, maybe 75-25, and you're going to find when that fat renders, it's going to caramelize that meat, and that's the texture and the flavor that you want of a smash burger.
And if you don't have a flat top, but you have a grill, you can just get a big griddle. I have a big steel griddle I bought for camping. That fits right on top of my grill beautifully.
Yep.
And that's actually a great way to do griddle-type cooking on your grill.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yep.
You don't have to go out and spend $600 to do this.
Right.
So the sequence of things is going to determine what the texture of that meat is. So if you're doing like I do and you just cut your tube into quarters, lightly press it down, put it on the griddle, that sequence is going to say, I'm going to go with a lower heat, I'm going to season it, I'm going to put it right over the fire, and I'm going to let it cook at sort of, I might call a natural pace.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to give you a certain texture. And that's what I'm used to.
Right.
Which is why I've always sort of hesitated or pushed off the whole smash burger concept, because I like a nice tender burger, not falling apart, but I don't want it to be a little bit tough or a little chewy. I want it to come out in it's my expectation. I'm cooking for me.
Right.
And if you like what I cook, you like that same sort of concept. So when you go with something more like a smash burger, then you're going to caramelize the bottom. It's going to be thinner. You're going to cook it fast and furious. You're going to go side to side, and you throw your cheese on it. You stack them up. build away.
So I've got a point that I want to make regarding cooking the burgers. Traditional burgers. We've smashed the smash burger. We're done with that for now. But a regular burger,
a
regular burger that's thicker, whether you make them thinner in the middle or not, whatever, that's up to you. Flipping the burger, you need to wait until the burger releases from the grate.
And why is it releasing?
Because it's cooking.
It's caramelizing.
Right. and it's firming up. I know that everybody listening here has flipped their burger too early and it breaks apart. And then you're like, oh, man.
Yeah.
That sucks.
That one's mine.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Eat your own mistakes. But the thing is this, just touch the edge of it with the spatula or if you're flipping them with tongs or whatever. And if it doesn't move easily, leave it there. Because once it gets ready to be flipped, it will release itself from the grill surface because of the fat that came out. But otherwise it sticks because I preheat my grill before I put my burgers on, right? So and my burger's usually room temperature or close to it. I don't put cold burger on my grill. It cooks better if it's at room temperature. It cooks more even. But once I hit it on there, it's going to have a natural tendency to stick a little bit before it gets cooked. And you want that cooking to come to the temperature. And that's how I know when to flip, is that you just touch it with the tongs or with a spatula if you're doing that. And if it slides a little bit on your grill, time to flip. If it's still sticking there, let it cook another few minutes, seconds, 30 seconds, whatever. Keep testing it because they won't fall apart if you're flipping them at the right time.
That's what she said.
Right.
So I want to go to charcoal because old school.
Yep.
So I have a couple of different ways to do charcoal, but my favorite is my Cajun grill from T-Gid. And it's a big, long, elevated coal bed deal. But I also have to buy lump charcoal. And you're just burning up something you just spent $20-$30 for. So you want to be kind of careful with
that. That being the lump charcoal.
Yeah. So the older I get, the more frugal I am, and I like to try and learn how to conserve things, and a little bit of that goes a long way. So if I'm doing burgers sometimes on my Cajun, I'll do indirect for a while, and I'll just put a little bit of charcoal on there, and while that thing is building, it's actually smoking. So mm-hmm. I'll have my lump charcoal on one end, and I'll put my starter in it, and it'll get going, but it's not really to where I want it, but it's creating heat and smoke. So I'll set my patties on the other end, close the lid, and give it about 25 minutes and let that charcoal get up to steam. And in the meantime, that raw meat has been absorbing some wonderful smoke if it's good charcoal.
Right.
It's got to be good charcoal. And then at that point, then I'll move them over. I'll usually have that grate off the grill, and I'll just take my stick and I'll spread my coals out. I'll raise the coal bed, and I'll put the grates back on and slide, or I'll just lift that grate up and put it over to that side, which is really nice if you have a dual grate grill. I don't know how popular those are.
You're doing is you're moving your burgers over top of the heat
without flipping them.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And then they can just start cooking, and they've now smoked for 25 minutes. It's just a nice little touch. And you talk about patina or savory, these different things we use to describe flavor, taste, smell. That kind of maximizes that investment in charcoal you made.
Right.
And it simplifies my process.
Well, and here's the other thing with lump charcoal. It's hardwood. There's no additives. There's no clay. There aren't briquettes. Not all of them, but most briquettes are made with the binder that really isn't something.
It's clay.
Yeah, that you want to cook over.
But here's the thing is the biggest brand out there sprays their molds with borax.
Yeah, exactly.
And I didn't want to believe that until, I saw a breakdown online on it. And it actually
lets them release out of the briquette maker.
Yeah, molds.
Right.
So the first time I recognized it, you and I were doing an event somewhere, and all they brought us was that brand.
Right.
And I was just devastated. I'm like, oh, okay, well, I'll use it. And I'm like swearing at church. And I opened up the burn chamber, and the first big waft of exhaust that came off of that like burnt my eyes. It was like a smell I didn't recognize. It's like, what is going on in here? That's what you're putting in your food.
Right.
All those additives, 50% of that briquette is not hardwood.
Right. Right. So the hardwood charcoal is just that. It's called lump. Takes a little bit longer to get it going, and it burns probably 40% hotter than the regular briquettes that you may be using. But once you learn how to use that, two things. You're going to get a better even heat. It burns once it gets going, it burns at an even temperature. But secondly, if you are done with your cook, you can shut the air off on the bottom of your charcoal grill and shut the air off on the top and snuff it out, and then you can relight it again the next time. You're never going to be able to do that with a briquette. You light it one time, and it's kind of one and done, where this lump charcoal, because it is more expensive.
And it's you know, there are certain things. There are, like that South American grill I've got. I do use briquettes on that because they're so close to the grate that I can't burn lump. It'll burn everything I try and cook.
Right. Yep.
So listen, I hope that this you found this interesting, because we are passionate about all sorts of foods, but we wanted to do a deep dive into burgers just because that's probably the number one food in America, or tacos.
Yeah.
Or pizza.
Right.
But for right now, we wanted to cover burgers.
For a grilling guy, it's burger. Yeah.
Check us out on Facebook. It's The Grilling Guys on Facebook. And if you want to post any pictures on there, give us a like. We've been sitting at 3,000 for 10 years. We don't promote it, but we should, and we need to start posting more of our food pictures. But we also will post your pictures if you want to send them to us.
Heck yeah, man.
So you hit thegrillingguys.com and send your photos in. It's better than adding them to the Facebook page, because we're administrators and we can get them up and prominent up on top.
Yeah, awesome. Well, we appreciate you tuning in each and every week. The season is here. Get out in your backyard, fire up a grill, create some grill envy in your neighborhood, because it's grilling season. And we'll talk with you next week.
And go to your podcast app on your phone and punch in The Grilling Guys. We'll send you to the show.
All right. See you next week.
See ya.